This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Some people follow the rules, I break them. I'm Soraya, and on Rule Breakers, we talk to the rebels who do things their way. Listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, good morning to you. It is a Wednesday morning. Happy that you're here with us. The second day of April, we got away with April Fool's Day pretty much unscathed yesterday, except my son, who's on a trip right now, texted us that he was about to jump out of an airplane somewhere over Sydney, Australia, just to get his mom going, I think. And we briefly believed it, but it was already not April Fool's Day there.
Oh,
it was
he should only have April said Fool's that Day he here. Was getting married.
Oh, yeah.
That would have been better.
That would have, we would not have bought that one. We did buy the skydiving.
Well, now thing. With AI, there's so many ways that you, could, I mean, I don't know how complicated it is, but to yeah. put your face on someone's body and send the picture to her. Oh, here I am. I just jumped out of a plane.
I know. He had us going briefly, but we did not fall for it. So hopefully you came away from that unscathed as well. My friends out of McAdoodle said they were switching. He put out a post saying he was switching from liquor to macaroni and cheese. It was pretty funny at first. It caught me off guard, and then I realized it was April Fool's Day. So
there are a couple that I believed, or you just like second guess. You know, you have to really look into it. Like, will that really happen?
I know. So there are some storms planned this afternoon. I don't think they're going to be as bad as they originally expected. If it happens, they're looking at storm windows here from mid morning to mid afternoon. It looks like late morning to mid afternoon. So I think we'll be all right.
Just everyone's siding and their roofs and their windows. Like people have, I know we had to get stuff replaced last May, I guess it was, from that storm. And people who have had multiple instances where their homes have been hit or their cars, these insurance companies are taking a beating.
No kidding.
And we will pay for it because our rates will hike.
We are going to pay for it all. We've been watching the results of this Wisconsin Supreme Court race. Disappointing to say the least, but surprising at the same time. Because what happened up there is the voters overwhelmingly said it put into the Constitution in Wisconsin that you have to show an ID to vote, which is just common sense. It was already the law, apparently, but they saw fit to put it in the Constitution for fear that some court might try to overturn it or something, which is now a real concern because the crazy progressives in Wisconsin managed to take that Supreme Court seat. What a juxtaposition. 135,000 more people voted for the constitutional amendment on voter ID than voted in the race for the Supreme Court. So there were people who actually went to the trouble to go to the polls, voted on constitutional ID, and didn't vote in the Supreme Court case. Very strange. We'll see in the next year or so how that washes out, because it could affect the number of congressional seats that are either Republican or Democrat coming out of the state of Wisconsin, because the Democrats would now have the power to gerrymander some of those districts to force them into blue districts. If you look at the map of the Wisconsin vote on the Supreme Court, it looks like a microcosm of the map of the United States, state by state, after the presidential election. The big blue blotches around the big cities and the rest of it's red. So it's the same as what's going on in America. You've got the population centers where the liberals clearly dominate, and then you've got the outlying areas where people with common sense live. That's pretty much how that works out. Hey, coming up, we are going to talk to our friend Taylor Riggs, and County Councilman Mark Harder is going to join us as well in the next segment to talk more about the Ethics Commission allegation that's been filed, that Sam Page is using your taxpayer dollars, if you live in the county, to fight against in a proposition that's going to be on the ballot next Tuesday. That's clearly against the law, if indeed he did pay for it with taxpayer money. We'll find out what Mark Harder, the county councilman, has to say about it coming up in our next segment. Right now, I want to get to our top stories, Carl.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Only about 27 universal injunctions were issued in the 20th century. Does that sound about right?
That sounds about right, Senator.
But 86 of them were issued against President Trump in his first term.
Yeah. Yesterday they were talking in the Senate about this whole idea of these liberal lower court judges being able to step in and stop a sitting executive of the United States, the president, from carrying out an executive order without it being a high court issue, and whether or not that's right or not. That was Senator John Kennedy.
Judge can rule on the Alien Enemies Act. We can hold on that, but we're going to continue to arrest members of TDA and MS-13 and every other criminal alien that we can find.
Yeah, Tom Homan there talking about, well, you can step in, you can try to stop us. We're going to keep getting them, just like they got the one guy who already had deportation orders. Everything about removing him from the country was done correctly. The only thing they did wrong was where they took him. They should have dropped him off in Venezuela instead of El Salvador.
My voice is inadequate. My efforts today are inadequate to stop what they're trying to do. But we, the people, are powerful. We are strong.
Cory Booker endorsed Kamala Harris. That's about all you need to know. But he stood up yesterday to tell you about the threat to the United States. And he stood up there and yammered for 20 hours and broke some sort of record. It wasn't a filibuster. They weren't in the middle of a debate on anything. He just tied up the Senate floor for 20 straight hours.
Well, it's a very disappointing result on the floor there. A handful of Republicans joined with all the Democrats to take down a rule that's rarely done. It's very unfortunate in this case.
Yeah, do you remember what rule Mike Johnson's talking about? Remember when Nancy Pelosi during COVID changed the rules of the House so that you could vote by proxy? So in other words, her members didn't need to be there. She could just call them on the phone, find out how they were going to vote, and tabulate their vote. Never been done before, I don't think, in the history of the Congress. And it was left that way until Democrats lost control of the House, at which point Republicans immediately got rid of proxy voting. If you're going to vote, you have to show up. You can't just vote by proxy and stay in your home district or campaign or whatever it is you're going to do. You have to be there just like everybody else, right? And yesterday there was a challenge to that. And enough weak-kneed Republicans switched over and voted with the Democrats that they switched it back. Now, one of them was somebody who's been a member of the Freedom Caucus in Congress, Anna Paulina Luna, who she apparently sees this as an issue, issue for pregnant women. She thinks because as a woman, when she's pregnant, if she's got a daycare issue or something, she should be able to give her vote to somebody to vote for her by proxy. And she voted with the Democrats. Here's what she said yesterday. Carl, go to cut 10, please.
For a while, we've had the majority and we've had the ability to bring legislation to the floor on election integrity and also to call out rogue judges. And yet they chose at this point in time to tie this discharge petition killer to this rule that would also permanently paint me and the members supporting it. And I would like to also share that I'm one of the most conservative members of this body. I'd like to hold up my voting record to anyone else as not just being anti-election integrity, but also enabling a position that I don't typically agree with. That in itself, I would say, in this entire process has been the most disappointing, especially from among my party.
Yeah, you think she's mad. Mike Johnson was mad, too. He's like, well, the rule failed. It's pretty disappointing. We're just going to go ahead and suspend Congress, and then we're going to come back in a few days and readdress this. My guess is they're going to vote on it again. I could be wrong about that. All right, Mark Harder, when we come back, we'll talk more about whether or not County Executive Sam Page is using taxpayer dollars, as alleged in this Ethics Commission violation complaint, to pay for anti-Prop B propaganda and campaigning. We'll be right back. Always love that song of the Beatles. Carl, of course, there's always a...
Hey,
There's always a reason behind the music he plays. The Red and Blue album.
They came out today.
Came out today in the mid-70s.
Yeah. And 70s. So the Blue album was all the later songs, and the Red album was all the early songs.
Okay. All
and
right.
Paul hated it. Because he didn't. That's why they re-released him 2 years or last year.
Yeah, okay.
2 years ago.
He didn't like the way it was mixed or something.
No, okay. They weren't involved in it, and so Paul, they expanded them and they added all the songs that were covers, and it's much better. And had the very last song, that Now and Then song, on it.
Ah,
but
I
now,
see.
now he's okay with
now,
it.
Now you know, in case you were wondering. All right, I mentioned this a little bit in the last hour. Kim and I were chatting about it, and that is this MEC complaint that's been filed. By Tom Wilson, I believe, against County Executive Sam Page with the Missouri Ethics Commission. And I asked County Councilman Mark Harder to join us this morning to talk a little bit more about that. Mark, how are you?
Hey, Kim. Hey, Mark. How you doing?
Doing great. Great to get you on this morning. You know, I was reading specifically the complaint in here about this, and it looks like state law is pretty clear on this, that you can't spend taxpayer money to advocate for or against a proposition. Is that right?
That's the way we read it, and the way this we've been saying this all along. And this citizen filed the this complaint with the Missouri Ethics Commission about a week ago, and so that's what you're referring to. And it details pretty much what's been going on in this whole case from the beginning to current times. And we're seeing that County Executive Page has been spending resources of St. Louis County towards propping up his side of this argument, which is to be no on Prop B. And when you do these type of propositions or things like this, with this is a proposition that changes our charter, you know, we have to be agnostic on this. You can't take a side. You can present the facts on both sides accurately, but you can't take a side. And he's taken a side, and he's skewed the information that's on his propaganda about his side.
Yeah, it says, I was reading a story yesterday sent to me, that in the 8 day before election filing with the Missouri Ethics Commission, Protect St. Louis Freedom took in $185,000 in contributions. The biggest contributor was the Page PAC, which made $100,000 contribution. So they're supporting this Protect St. Louis Freedom committee, which is opposed to Prop B. But that's PAC money, right? That's different than county dollars.
That is PAC money, and basically what that is, there's a group called Page PAC that represents Sam Page's interests. They have contributed what you have reported there, over 100 grand, to another PAC that didn't have hardly anything in its treasury a few months ago, and now has accumulated almost 200,000 in their pack, and they're using that to pay for these mailings that many of us have received recently. They've done three of these mailings into the St. Louis County area, plus right. other things. What this MEC report is alleging is that county printing has been done. The county logo is on some of the handouts that have been given out at meetings and things like that. There's also a postcard that actually is signed or has at the bottom of it paid for by County Executive Sam Page. So he uses his title and everything. And so whether he paid for that or not, you know, this is, we don't know until we see the receipts if this is being paid for by county taxpayers, but that's what it says at the bottom of the postcard, plus many others.
What happens from here? Because Election Day is Tuesday. Is it a day late and a dollar short, or what can be done at this point?
It depends on how fast the Missouri Ethics Commission acts. I'm hoping they act faster than normal. And basically they would rule and make a decision, and the penalty is usually a financial a penalty of some type. To either Sam Page directly or to the campaign that's putting out the information. So.
And it may be too late between now and next Tuesday for them to make a ruling. I don't know, but it's important for people to know what's going on. I've got that flyer you were talking about in my hand. I got the postcard in the mail. It had been addressed to my son and for some reason was forwarded to my home address now in St. Charles County, but I did get to look at it. It does say paid for by County Executive Sam Page right at the bottom.
They could still make a decision after Election Day, right? Yeah, it's not like they could still find that he was in violation and fine him after the fact.
They could.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, yes. They can take up to 90 days or more to get through this and do their own investigation. But right now I think the voters of St. Louis County have to understand what's going on behind the scenes and how he's pushing back on this. And, it's the old phrase, him protest too much. And there is something else here, and he's covering up some things that we're not seeing in the background of this whole of this issue. He's pushing pretty hard on this to make sure that people vote no on this, and we want people to vote yes on this amendment, which will change our charter and give us some oversight over his people.
Well, Mark, we appreciate your time, my friend. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, guys. Talk to you later.
Councilman Mark Harder there. I am a yes on Prop B. It's on the voter guide, 971talk.com. All right. What's Liberation Day doing to the markets? We'll talk to Taylor Riggs from Fox coming up.
Oh, Stu, I don't think we're going to see energy prices rise. They've already come down in response to President Trump's actions, just his messaging on marketplaces. What you're going to see is tariffs on U.S. exports come down across the world. President Trump's message has been free and fair trade, reciprocal trade. I'm talking to foreign leaders all the time, and they want two key things. They want to buy more American products. I'm talking to them mostly about energy, and they want to invest more dollars in the United States.
Yeah, that's the Energy Secretary, Chris Wright, there talking about what he thinks is going to happen here today. Well, I don't know if the markets are probably expecting something different, according to what I'm seeing here on the Fox Business page this morning. We have Taylor Riggs with us from the Big Money Show. Taylor, good morning.
Good morning.
So do you share Chris Wright's enthusiasm?
You know, gosh, yes and no. Definitely we are hearing short-term pain, but really for long-term gain. You guys have talked with me a lot about tariffs. And again, the emotional factor of this is I'm a mother. Do I give up my daughter's future to have a good paying job in America so that I can buy a cheap TV from China? A lot of Americans right now are thinking that's not a bet I'm willing to make. That being said, there could be some pain because the supply chains have just gotten so global, as you know. You know, we had background conversations with a lot of automakers. These cars, the parts, go back and forth across the Canada-US-Mexico border multiple times before they're even assembled. So trying to rejigger that certainly would take some time. But I have to say I'm not totally surprised. It certainly was the president's campaign promise. But again, today, 4 p.m., I think markets and the economy want to hear about reciprocity. Reciprocal tariffs is something that we understand that we can get behind. And as the energy secretary was saying, on one hand, maybe you bring in revenue, but frankly, best case scenario, tariffs go down because we all believe in free trade and free capital markets. India, Israel, some of the ones last night and today coming out and saying we'll reduce all of our tariff imports to avoid this trade fight with the U.S.
Yeah. Taylor, let me go back in time a little bit and play something for you. I found a soundbite from Donald Trump from 1997. Part of this was on CNN and part of it was on the Oprah Winfrey Show. Listen to Donald back then, how much younger he sounds.
The fact is that you don't have free trade. We think of it as free trade, but you right now don't have free trade. And I think a lot of people are tired of watching other countries ripping off the United States. This is a great country. They laugh at us. Behind our backs, they laugh at us because of our own stupidity.
And Japan come in and dump everything right into our markets and everything. It's not free trade. If you ever go to Japan right now and try to sell something, forget about it, Oprah. Just forget about it. It's almost impossible.
Yeah, he's right. And he's been right since 1987.
Well, and hard to say that you're surprised, right?
Yeah.
So it's not just the campaign trail, but 20, 30 years in the making. There was a great case study done, and again, this was in the 1960s, to retaliate against the chicken tax. Europe refused to buy our chicken. We did a truck tax. That's why I hate to say it, the Ford F-150 is the most made, one of the most made in America cars right now. You don't see an F-150 made or sold in Europe. They're made in America because that tariff was put on 40 years ago. So there are some good long-term examples. I think the worry right now has been so much global integration of the supply chain. How do we reverse that, and how long does it take, and what do prices do in the meantime?
We talk about this short-term pain for long-term gain, which I think is worth it. Unfortunately, people are stubborn, and we want immediacy and results right away, right? And so people are giving Donald Trump like a couple months to get prices all down, or they feel like he's somehow failed as a president, mm-hmm. which is ridiculous. But Taylor, is there any, I probably know the answer to this, but I'll ask anyway, is there any way to gauge how long you think we could feel this short-term pain?
Next midterm cycle, next October,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's going to, unfortunately, and you and I have talked about this, I love America. I will never, never bet against this country, but China operates on 100-year timelines. We operate on 2 to 4 year election cycle timelines. That's the problem. So, you know, I'm a mom like you. I give him more than a couple months. But if you're the average American and you've already had your prices go up 20% over the Biden administration, you're just less inclined right now to handle anything more than that. Mm-hmm. Even though what I keep telling my family is at least this time, if I pay higher prices, I'm getting something for it. Maybe a better job in the future, maybe securing national security. In the last 4 years, my prices went up 20%, but I don't have anything to show for that. No improvement in my future life. Americans are short-sighted. That's just who we are. And the markets are very short-sighted. They run on three-month quarterly profit cycles. So I think the administration has been smart in messaging and saying, look, the market is a snapshot in time. The market does not represent the economy or the way people think. So again, really need some clarity today at 4 p.m. on what the specifics of these tariffs are going to be.
Yeah, it's a good point. Are you hearing anything like that you can report yet on where he's going with this?
The big, big, big hang up that we hear is most car manufacturers are okay with an import on assembled vehicles. It's the auto parts that is going to be the big hang up. If that's implemented, that's like a $5,000 to $10,000 increase in your car. That is chaos. You know, I think people understand reciprocity. I don't think people understand universal tariffs.
Yeah.
So again, we need messaging. This is not about fentanyl. This is not about the border. This is about reciprocity. Tit for tat. As a business leader, I know that. I can get on board with that. I can't get on board with some tariffs here and then down and then up and then an exemption and then we're tracking fentanyl deaths to track tariffs, and that it doesn't allow me to spend and invest in my factory for the next 10 years.
That's a good point. And I'm sure you'll be covering all this today on the Big Money Show, right?
We are. That's all we're doing.
That's awesome. Taylor, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, great explanation. Thank you. She's so smart. I love hearing how she puts that in simple terms. And it's true. It's what I talked about earlier this morning. Imagine for a moment if Illinois was a different country. Or if you're in Illinois, imagine Missouri's a different country. And, you know, we've got Eckert's over here selling apples, and we got Eckert's over there selling apples.
Mm-hmm.
And Missouri decides to put a 50% tariff on any apples from the Illinois side of the river. Well, everybody's just going to start buying the Eckert's Illinois apples. They live in Illinois and over here because you're not. It's going to kill that trade. This is a different situation. This is a situation where for the last 50 years,
Missouri, in this case, had been charging a 200% tariff on Illinois apples, and Illinois hadn't been charging anything. And suddenly they decide, well, it's time for us to protect our businesses a little bit. That's all this is about. It's about fairness. It's only fair if one side's doing it, that the other side do it, or they both agree, we're just going to drop all this nonsense and have free trade.
It's a good analogy you gave, and it makes it easier to wrap your brain around what's going on, and it also makes you realize how ridiculous it is that some of these countries are acting like children and saying, well, I'm not doing this, and I'm taking that back because they're so mad. I could understand if we were implementing these on countries where there was no tariff, we've never had any issues. I would maybe understand that. But for some of these countries that have had these, you know, 50 to what, 200% tariffs
or more
on our goods, and all of a sudden we're just saying, hey, we're not cool with that. We're going to reciprocate. And they're throwing a little tantrum. That's crazy.
Yeah. And Trump's been
talking. Cry me a river, build me a bridge, and get over it.
Trump has been talking about it for almost 40 years now. That soundbite I played for you there just a few minutes ago. Wow. All right. We'll get to a quick break. And if you're just tuning in, if you didn't listen earlier in the show, I found out about something yesterday that that was not on my radar that might end up giving people $8,000 or $10,000 checks. And I'm going to explain that when we come back. Stay tuned.
It's never too early to learn that the government is a greedy piglet that suckles on a taxpayer's teat until they have sore, chapped nipples.
I still stand by that. I found out something yesterday about the Social Security Fairness Act that apparently was signed into law in January and I believe just took effect, right? It's something I'd never really thought about because I've paid into Social Security my whole life. Every job I've had I've had to pay the piper there for Social Security. But a lot of teachers and some public service employees don't. They pay into a private pension system. So back in the 90s, they did something called the windfall elimination provision and the government pension offset. And what that meant was you couldn't double dip. Even if you had paid enough into Social Security at a low wage before you started your 20-year teaching career, you didn't get to take the Social Security and the pension. You couldn't do both if it was coming from a government group like a teachers union or something, or teachers pension or something like that. Well, this Social Security Fairness Act eliminated the WEP. It immediately removed that. And my mother, who's a retired teacher, called me and said, I need you to call Social Security. I'm like, you don't get Social Security. She goes, I know that. But some of my friends are telling me they're getting $6,000 checks from Social Security. I'm like, why? So she tells me about this. I look it up. Lo and behold, the octogenarian set was correct. Some of them are. Now, it doesn't apply to everyone. But if you know someone who worked as a teacher or maybe a police officer for all those years, now a lot of people work second jobs, and if you're working a second job, you're paying Social Security tax, but you may not have been eligible to draw it up until now. And I don't know if it's an ongoing check, but some of these people are getting like one-time payments from Social Security for like back money that they're owed. So it's worth looking into. At least call Social Security or get on. If you have an SSA.gov account, you can get on there and find out the details and whether or not you might be eligible, because they track. If you've ever gone on there, it's kind of fun sometimes to go on there and track. It shows how much you reported in wages since your very first job, like way back when.
I get that. They send that like every couple of years.
By mail. I think I opted out of the mail, and I can go online now and look at it.
It's very interesting to see.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, I worked when I was 14, I think I mentioned, and, you know, made $500 or $400 over the course of a summer. I mean, it wasn't much. And then, of course, you can watch it grow through your career, hopefully. And
Or dip
up and down when you're in college and you're not working, or you stayed home with the kids and your salary. But regardless, you can track it on there, and it's probably a better indication of whether or not you might be one of those people that qualify. So, again, not everybody's going to qualify for it. But if you know any teachers who are retired, it might be a good idea to have them reach out, or maybe they're not retired yet, reach out and ask either their accountant or call Social Security and ask.
That's good, because a lot of teachers will even work job, like a restaurant job or something during the summer when they're
right.
off.
Right. Yeah, my initial thought was, it's no wonder we're bankrupt. Why are we paying people Social Security who didn't pay into Social Security? But a lot of them did, and it may have been a small amount, actually. It may have been a rather small amount many years ago. But if you hit that, was it 20 quarters? You have to work 20 quarters, I think, to qualify, something like that, to draw Social Security. If you've hit that that mark, I believe you're going to be eligible for this potential $6,000, $7,000, $8,000, $10,000. Now they'll tax you on that next year, so you'll probably owe a couple grand of it in taxes, depending on your tax rate. But it's worth looking into.
I get why they have a cap or like a limit. You have to work a certain amount, but it seems like if you're paying into Social Security, you should give back what you put in at the very least.
Well, it's a pyramid scheme. So that's honestly, Social Security is ready to fail in just a few years, and we won't go in and fix it. That's not a popular opinion. People are like, it's not a pyramid scheme. I paid that money. I deserve it. Well, you do. I'm not disagreeing with you that you deserve to get the benefit that you paid in. But the way they've got it set up, it was never intended to be permanent. You just have to know that. It was a Depression-era plan to give people a safety net, and it long ago grew into something it was never intended to be. So if you have fewer people paying in and all these baby boomers retiring and drawing out of it, there's not enough being put in to cover the amount that's being taken out. Mm-hmm. It's a recipe for disaster. They've got to have somebody with the intestinal fortitude to stand up and say we either need to means test, or we need to raise the age of Social Security, mm-hmm. or starting with people who are now in their 30s or something. You got to do something, or it's going to run out of money eventually.
Kimberly's saying 40 quarters.
Is it 40?
That's what
I thought it was less
Facebook.
Than that. I don't know. I do not have a detail on that, but look into it. Might be worth it. Hey, Brian Kilmeade, coming up here in just a couple of minutes. You'll have the latest on Liberation Day. That's all going to happen about 3 o'clock this afternoon, about the time Annie Fry is turning things over to Mark Reardon. So stay tuned to 97.1 FM Talk all day long. And Kim and Carl and Sue and I and Ethan, we'll see you back here tomorrow morning at 5 a.m.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.